Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Talmud Torah, Perek Aleph. Sefer Hamada is all about knowing and understanding God and His works. In Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah, this was through proper religious belief and appreciating God's creation. In Hilchot Deot, this was through developing one's character in a way which imitates God. Now the Rambam gets to the most concrete and perhaps most accessible way to know God, learning Torah. In these halachot, the Rambam will discuss the parameters of the mitzvah to learn and teach Torah, and the proper way to relate to one's teachers and to Talmid Chachamim in general. These, in fact, are the two mitzvot discussed in Hilchot Talmud Torah, the mitzvah to learn and teach that we'll see in this parak, and the mitzvah to honor Talmid Chachamim, which we'll get to later in Parak Vav. Halacha Aleph. Nashim v'avadim piturim mitamu Torah. Aval katan aviv chayav lamdo Torah. Shnemar v'limanetem otam epenechem l'daber bam. Ve'ein ha'isha chayavet lamed et benah. Shekola chayav l'lmod chayav lamed. Women and slaves, the reference here is to an Eved Kanani, who has the same obligation and mitzvot as a woman, are exempt from Talmud Torah. But a child under age 13, his father has to teach him Torah, because the Pasuk says, the Pasuk in Kriyat Shema, that you should teach your sons Torah. And a mother does not have to teach her son, because only one who is obligated to learn himself is obligated to teach. Two fascinating points on this halacha. First, it's very interesting that the Rambam doesn't begin Hilchot Talmud Torah with the statement of the obligation, but rather by saying who is exempt, as if to say that the default is that a person is obligated in Talmud Torah because it is such a central part of one's relationship with Hashem. Second, the Rambam hasn't mentioned anything about learning Torah oneself and is already speaking about teaching to others. As we'll see, the formulation of the mitzvah in the Psukim is not to learn, but to teach. Torah represents the continuation of the Masorah from Har Sinai, and the transmission to the next generation is even more important than mastering Torah oneself. Regarding women, the Gemara learns in three stages that women are exempt from teaching their sons. They are not included among those who need to be taught, because the Pasuk says, "V'limadetem otam et b'neichem," teach your sons, not your daughters. Hence, they are not obligated to learn Torah themselves, as only those who need to be taught need to learn. Hence, they are not obligated to teach their own sons, as only those who need to learn need to teach. We'll discuss more about women learning Torah when the Rambam returns to this topic at the end of the parak. Halacha bet. Kishem sha'adam chayav lamed et beno, kachu chayav lamed et ben beno, shnemar v'hodatam levanecha v'livnei vanecha. Just as a person is obligated to teach his son, so he is obligated to teach his grandson. As the Torah says regarding what we heard at Har Sinai, the mitzvot, v'hodatam, you should transmit them to your sons and to your grandsons. V'lo beno uven beno bilvad, el mitzvah al kol chacham v'chacham Yisrael, lamed et kol ha'talmidim af al pi she'inam banav. Shnemar vishinam tam levanecha. M'pi ha'shmor lamdu banecha elu talmidecha. Sh'talmidim kruyim banim shnemar v'yitzu b'nei ha'nevi'im. The mitzvah is not only to teach one's biological children, but anyone who is wise, any chacham, has to teach his students, even if they aren't his children. When the pasuk says, vishinantam levanecha, teach your sons, again, in Kriyat Shema, the Chazal learned that banecha doesn't specifically mean biological children. Any student can be referred to as a ben. There's a pasuk in Malachim Bet that talks about b'nei ha'nevi'im, which really refers to the disciples of the nevi'im. So ben can mean student. Im kein lama nitztava al beno uven beno, lahakdim beno leven beno, uven beno leven chavero. V'chayav liskor melamed livno ulamdo, v'no chayav lamed ben chavero ela bichinam. If the mitzvah really applies to all students, why did the Torah specify your sons and your grandsons? Because there are two differences between the obligation towards your sons and grandsons on the one hand, and the obligation to other students on the other. First of all, in terms of precedence, that teaching your son takes precedence to teaching your grandson, and teaching both of them takes precedence to teaching the child of someone else. And in addition, for your own children, if you don't teach them yourself, you have the obligation to hire someone to teach them. You have no such obligation regarding the son of someone else. That person you have to teach if you are a chacham, but you don't have to spend anything on that. we'll get later to whether you're allowed to earn anything for doing that. Note, by the way, that the division here between halacha bet and halacha gimel really interrupts in the middle of a statement, the two differences between teaching one's own children and teaching someone else's children. The Rambam divided the Mishnah Torah into prakim himself, but the division of each perek into halachot, halacha aleph, halacha bet, etc., was the work of later copyists and printers, and sometimes, like here, isn't really the best fit for the content of the halachot. Mi shelo limdo aviv chayav lamed et atzmo kishiyakir shenamar ulmadetem otam ushmartem laasotam v'chein ata motze b'chol makom shatamud kodem lemaaseh v'pnei shatamud mevi lidei maaseh v'ein hamaaseh mevi lidei tamud. Someone who was not taught by his father has to teach himself as soon as he's able to. As the pasuk says in Parshat Vetchanan, you should learn them the mitzvot and proceed to do them. Learning is a prerequisite for performing the mitzvot. The Kesna Mishnah explains the word v'chein here to mean because. The reason that one has to teach himself is so that he can perform mitzvah properly, as we see in general, that learning leads to proper performance, but performance does not lead to learning. There's another reason why one has to teach himself, as the Rambam will say now, in Halacha Dalet. Hayahu lamo Torah v'yesh lo ben lamo Torah, hu kodem livno. Vim haya bino navon umaskil mashil madu temenu bino kodem. V'af al pishu bino kodem loy batel hu. Shekashem shemitzvah alav lamed et bino, kachu mitzuve lamed et atzmo. If a person has a choice between learning Torah himself and teaching his son Torah, so he himself takes precedence. However, if the son is wiser and will be able to comprehend and advance in his learning much more quickly than the father, then the son takes precedence. But even in that case where the son takes precedence, the father cannot just not learn himself at all, because the mitzvah, in addition to teaching his own son, is also to teach himself. This is the second reason that one must learn himself, namely that learning is part of the mitzvah. Until now, the mitzvah has been expressed as one of teaching, but the mitzvah also includes learning Torah oneself. Halacha hei. Le'olam yilmad adam Torah v'achar kach yisa isha. She'im nasa isha tchila, ein dato pnuya l'mod. V'im haya yitzro mitgaber alav, ad shnimtza she'ein libo panuy, yisa isha v'achar kach yilmad Torah. A person should learn Torah and only then get married, because if he gets married first, he will be very busy, occupied with supporting his wife and his family. He won't have time to learn. If, however, he finds that he has a strong yetzer hara and needs to get married, or he won't be able to concentrate on anything else, then he should get married first and only afterwards learn Torah. Halacha vav, me'imatai matchil aviv lamdo Torah, mishiyatchil daber melamdo, Torah tziv lanu Moshe, morasha v'chulei. Ufasuk rishon miparashat Shema, v'achar kach melamdo ma'at ma'at, psukim, ad shiyeb ben shesh o ben sheva, lefi buryo, molicho etzem lamed hatinokot. From what age does the father have to teach his son Torah? From when the son is able to speak, the father already has to teach him the psukim of Torah tziv lanu Moshe, morasha kiyat Yaakov, and the first pasuk of Shema. The first of those psukim emphasizes the centrality of Torah. The second pasuk emphasizes the importance of believing in God and the unity of God. Beyond that, the father continues to teach the son one pasuk at a time, a few at a time. By the time his son is 6 or 7 years old, the father should already hire a teacher to teach him much, much more and with greater intensity. Halacha zayin. Haya minhag ha-medina likach melamed ha-tinokot sachar, noten lo scharo, v'chayav lamdo b'sachar ad shiikra Torah shbichtav kula. If the custom is that this teacher takes payment for teaching the kid psukim, then the father has to pay him. He has to pay him to teach his son all of what the Rambam calls Torah shebichtav. Most achronim, notably the Bach, understand this phrase, Torah shebichtav, in the Rambam, to refer not as we use it to just Chumash, but to all of Tanakh. We'll see that this view is supported by the words of the Rambam himself in Halacha Yudbet. If so, the general custom that children do not learn all of Tanakh in school requires justification, and poskim struggle to find one. Makom shenagu lamed Torah shebichtav b'sachar, mutar lamed b'sachar, aval Torah shebal peh, אסרו למדה בשכר, שנאמר, ראה לימדתי אתכם חוקים ומשפטים כאשר ציווני השם אלוקי. מה אני בחינם למדתי, אף אתם בחינם למדתם ממני. וכן כשתלמדו לדורות בחינם כמו שלמדתם ממני. Even though we just said that one can take money for teaching Torah Shebichtav, Psukim, one cannot take money, says the Rambam, for teaching Torah Shebalpeh. Why? When Moshe taught Bnei Israel Torah Sheval Peh, he said to them, I am teaching you just as I was taught by God. And just as God taught Moshe without taking any payment, God certainly doesn't take any payment, so too Moshe taught Bnei Israel for free without taking any payment. And he's telling them, and just as I taught you, you should continue to teach others only without taking any payment. In light of this halacha, how is it that teachers of Torah Sheval Peh are allowed to earn a salary? The Shulchan Aruch explains that their salary is really what's called schar batala, that is reimbursement, not for the teaching itself, but for the time he could be spending on more lucrative work, but chooses instead to spend on teaching Torah. Of course, teaching nowadays consists of much more than simply teaching. There's also writing exams, grading exams, and all sorts of other administrative type work, and the payment that teachers take can be understood as being given for that work. Lo matza mishi lamdo b'chinam, yilmo b'sachar, shnemar emet kine, yachol yamed achirim b'sachar, tamud lomar, v'al timkor. Halamarata sh'asru lo amed b'sachar, afapi shelimdo rabo b'sachar. If a person can find no one to teach him for free, everyone is in violation of what we just read and is taking money for teaching Torah Sheval Peh, then one must nonetheless pay to learn Torah Sheval Peh. And even if he had to pay to learn Torah Sheval Peh himself, when he teaches it to others, he should not take any payment for it. Halacha Chet. Kol ish Yisrael chayav v'talmud Torah, bein ani, bein ashir, bein shalim begufo, bein bal yisurin, bein bachur, bein shehaya zaken gadol, shetashash kocho. Afilu ani amechazer l'aptachim, v'afilu bal isha uvanim, chayav likbo alo zman l'talmud Torah b'yom v'alayla, shemar v'agitabo yomam v'alayla. Every Jewish male is obligated to Talmud Torah, whether he is poor or rich, whether he is healthy or suffers from pain, whether he is young or old, and even a pauper, even someone who has a wife and kids and needs to provide for his family, must set aside time for learning Torah, both during the day and at night. As the pasuk says in the beginning of Yoshua, v'hagita bo yomam v'layla. You have to be involved in Torah both during the day and at night. The Rama on the Shulchan Aruch rules that someone who says Kriyat Shema in the morning and at night fulfills through that the bare minimum of this mitzvah of v'hagita bo yomam v'layla. But of course, one should aspire to much more than that minimum. Halacha Tet. Gedolei chachmei Yisrael haya mehem chotvei tzim umehem shovei mayim umehem sumin va'af al pichein hayu oskin batora bayom uvalayla vehem miklal matikei ha-shmua ish mipi ish mipi Moshe Rabbeinu. The greatest chachamim that Bnei Israel had, some of them were woodchoppers, some of them were water carriers, some of them were blind. And nonetheless, despite that work and those struggles, they study Torah and day and night, and they are among those who carried on the Mesorah. You might recall from the introduction to the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam lists the entire chain of Mesorah from Moshe Rabbeinu all the way down to the writing of the Gemara. And among those, the Rambam says, were people who had great struggles to learn, but nonetheless learned during the day and at night. Halacha Yud. Ad emata chayav adam lemo Torah, ad yom oto, shenemar ufa nesur muvavecha kol mechayecha, v'chol zman shelo yasok b'limud, hu shacheach. A person is obligated to be involved in Torah his entire life, till he dies, because any time that he doesn't study, he might forget what he learned. And the Torah has an explicit pasuk warning us not to forget what we learned. Fanyasuru milvavecha, that these words should not leave your mind, you should continue to go over them. Palach Yud Aleph. V'chayav l'shalesh et zman limidato. Shlish batorah shebichtav, u'shlish batorah shebal peh, u'shlish yavin v'yaskil acharit davar mereshito, v'yotzi davar midavar, v'yidameh davar ledavar, v'yadin b'midot shatara nidreshet behen, ad shiyeida he'ach u'ikar amidot. V'he'ach yotzi ha'asur v'amutar v'chayotze behen, midvarim shalman mipi ha'shmua, v'nyan zeh hu anikra Talmud. A person is required to split his time into three parts. One-third on Torah shebichtav, that is Tanakh, one-third on Torah Sheval Peh, and one-third on analysis of the texts, on what can be inferred from them, how to apply the methods of Midrash to infer from the sources what conclusions can be drawn halakha l'maaseh, and this is known as Talmud. This psak of the Rambam is based on the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed, which says that one should divide his time for learning Torah between the three areas of Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. Tosfot on that Gemara understands each of those terms to be referring to a different text. Mikra means Tanakh, Mishnah means Mishnayot, and Talmud is Gemara. As I heard pointed out by my
Rebbe, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichrono Livracha,
the Rambam in this halacha understands those last two very differently. Mishnah, according to the Rambam, doesn't mean just Mishnayot. It means the text of Torah Shebaal Peh, including both Mishnayot and Gemara, learnt in a manner which we would call Bekiut, mastering the texts themselves. Talmud refers not to a text, but to a methodology, which we would call learning bi'iyun, comparing and analyzing the texts of Torah Shebaal Peh and reaching conclusions that are relevant halacha l'maisa. This will be very important in the next halacha as well. Halacha Yud Bet. Ketzad, haya bal umanut, vaya usek bimlacha shalosh ha'ot bayom v'torah tesha, otana tesha korei b'shalosh mehen b'torah shebichtav, u'v'shalosh b'torah shebaal peh, u'v'shalosh mitbonen b'da'ato lahavin davar midavar. V'divrei kabbalah b'chlal torah shebichtav hein, u'v'hirushan b'chlal torah shebaal peh, v'aininot hanikrin pardes b'chlal ha'talmud. The Rambam gives an example here. If someone needs to work 3 hours a day and has 9 hours to learn Torah, then those 9 hours, he should spend 3 of them involved in learning Tanakh, 3 of them in learning Torah Shebaal Peh, and 3 of them in what he called Talmud, comparing and analyzing the texts. The Rambam then goes on to say that Nach, that is Divrei Kabbalah, is part of what he called Torah Shebichtav.
As we already referenced, this line supports the understanding of the Bach in Halach HaZayin, that one must hire a teacher to teach his sons, the Rambam says, Torah Shebichtav, and that includes not just Chumash, but also Nach.
The explanations of Tanakh are considered parts of Torah Shebaal Peh, that is Rashi and other Perushim. And the matters which are called pardes, which the Rambam described in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, that is Maaseh Bereishit, Maaseh Merkava, those are considered part of Talmud. That is the third area of analysis. B'med Dvarim Amurim, B'tchilat Talmudo Shel Adam, Aval Kishi Yagdil B'chochma, V'lo Yetzarich Lo Lilmod Torah Shebichtav, V'lo Lasok Tamid V'Torah Shebaal Peh, Yikra B'itim Zumanim Torah Shebichtav, V'divrei Hashmua Kadei Shelo Yishkach Devar Midivrei Dinei Torah, V'ipanek Kol Yomav L'Talmud B'lvad, V'yirochav Libo, V'yishuv Da'ato. All this, the Rambam says, about splitting your time into three equal parts, that's when a person starts to learn. But when he has grown in wisdom, he does not need to spend a third of his time on Tanakh, nor a third of his time on Torah Shebaal Peh. Rather, he should read them, he should review them from time to time so as not to forget them, but the majority of his time he should really spend only on Talmud, depending on how strong his intellect is and how much he is able to understand. The Rambam here is answering a question which bothered other Rishonim as well. Why is the general custom not to split our learning time in three equal parts, but rather to focus much more on Gemara than, say, Tanakh? Doesn't this contradict the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed? Tosfot's answer is that we call Gemara, the Talmud Bavli, is actually a mix of all three, because it quotes many psukim and obviously contains Mishnayot. So we are yotzei all three parts by studying Gemara all the time. The Rambam's answer is different. The Gemara about splitting time into three refers to the early years of a person's learning. Once he reaches a certain point, he should focus almost exclusively on Talmud, on what we call learning bi'iyun. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav gives a third possible explanation. He understands that the Gemara never meant that one's time should be split equally between the three parts. Rather, that one should devote as much time as necessary to each part in order to complete all three and understand them properly. As Gemara is a much larger corpus than the other two, and much harder to understand, this necessitates spending more time on it than on Tanakh or on Mishnah. Halacha Yud Gimel. Isha shelamda Torah, yesh la sachar, aval eino kischar ha'ish, mipnei shelo nitzdavat. V'chol ha'oseh davar she'eino mitzuveh alav, ein scharo kischar ha'mitzuveh she'asa, ela pachot mimenu. A woman who learns Torah gets reward for doing so, but not like the reward of a man, because she is not obligated in it. We have a general rule that someone who does a mitzvah for which he is not obligated does not get the same degree of reward as one who does a mitzvah in which he is obligated. In this halacha, the Rambam makes very clear the exclusion of women from Talmud Torah refers only to her father's obligation to teach her and to her obligation to learn herself. However, a woman who expresses interest in learning Torah may do so. There is no impediment to that. And furthermore, she gets reward for doing so.
There is, in fact, a tradition of women who take an interest in learning Torah at a very high level, starting with Bruria, the wife of Rabbi Meir, and continuing with several other individual women through the time of Rishonim and Achronim.
Ve'af al pi sheish la sachar, tzibu chachamim shelo yalamed adam et bito Torah, mipnei sherov hanashim ein datan mechuvenet litlamed, ve'en motziin divrei Torah li divrei havai lefi aniyut datan. And even though she gets schar, Chazal insisted that a person not teach his daughter Torah, because most women do not have the proper concentration and the proper focus on learning. They misunderstand Divrei Torah and apply them improperly.
The Rama paskens, however, that women certainly should be taught halachot that are relevant to them. For instance, keeping Shabbos properly, keeping kashrus properly. If she's not learning all those details in her home, then she certainly needs to learn them in some educational framework.
Amru chachamim kol ha-melamed et bito Torah ki'ilu limda tiflut. Ba-medivrei mamurim, ba-torah shebal peh. Aval torah shebichtav lo yelamed autat lechatchila, v'im limda eino kim lamda tiflut. Chachamim said,
this is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah and Sota Daf Kaf.
Anyone who teaches his daughter Torah, it's as if he taught her something of no value, or some understand tiflut to mean something negative. This, however, the Rambam says, refers to Torah shebal peh. Torah shebichtav, a person still should not teach his daughter lechatchila, but if he did teach her, it is not considered that he has taught her tiflut. That last line in the Rambam, that distinction between Torah shebichtav and Torah shebal peh, this distinction does not appear explicitly in the Gemara. The Rambam's source for this is most likely the mitzvah of Hakel, when the entire nation, including women, assembles every 7 years in order to hear the king reading portions of the Torah. The idea stated here by the Rambam, that women should not be taught Torah shebal peh because most would not understand it properly, has been the subject of debate in modern times. Already well over a century ago, the Chafetz Chaim pointed out that with the weakening of Mesorah in the modern world, it can no longer be assumed that a woman will simply accept a tradition of which she knows very little beyond what she sees practiced in her parents' home. He insisted that women be taught not only Torah shebichtav, but basic ethical components of Torah shebal peh, like Pirkei Avot and certain parts of Midrash.
It was based on this idea that he supported the founding of the Beit Yaakov schools in Poland in the early 20th century, and even saw in them a matter of pikuach nefesh, that it was necessary to teach women Torah in order to prevent the complete assimilation of the Jewish people.
More recently, Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Aaron Lichtenstein took this idea further. If the secular world has removed all limitations to women's learning, and they can study at a university and enter any profession as freely as men, how is it that only Torah should be off-limits to them? Does it really honor the Torah to tell a woman that she can pursue any field of study as far as she is able to, but cannot learn any Torah beyond a grade school level? Their conclusion was that women should be allowed the opportunity to study even Torah shebal peh at whatever level they are able to, as is indeed the practice at many seminaries today in Israel, in the United States, and elsewhere.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.